The Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan gives you $1,860 back each year in your Social Security check. Choose coverage that helps you keep more money in your pocket. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. The Part B Give Back benefit pays part or all of your Part B premium, and the amount may change based on the amount you pay for Part B. Limitations and restrictions may apply. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
Through the Gryffindor is brought to you by Wizarding Candles. Ever wish you could bring the magic of the wizarding world right into your home? Well, now you can with our very own collection of wizarding candles. We work hard to make sure that these aren't just candles. We aim to offer a brand new enchanting experience each month. All of our handcrafted candles are inspired by iconic places, spells, creatures, and relics from the magical world. Whether it's the cozy scent of the burrow or the mystical aroma of the enchanted forest, our candles transport you to the heart of the magic. The fun doesn't stop there. Hidden at the bottom of every candle is a surprise charm waiting just for you. Each charm is a unique keepsake and carefully selected to match the theme of each candle. We have new scents every single month, and you can save 10% on a subscription when you sign up at wizardingcandles.com.
Welcome, dear listeners. I'm Jonathan Carlin.
And I'm Benjamin Carlin.
And we invite you to join us through the Gryffindor, your one-way ticket to the enchanting world of Harry Potter. So grab your wands and dust off your broomsticks and join us as we unlock the mysteries behind Prisoner of Azkaban, Chapter 19, The Servant of Lord Voldemort, live in Portland!
Woo! That was good, y'all.
That was good.
That was good. Man. So, Jay, as ever, as we take a look here at chapter 19, we have our chapter art that we have to take a gander at,
which is, of course, show the audience.
It is the Shrieking Shack.
The Shrieking Shack.
Yes, yes. And one of the things that we were really loving here in the last chapter when we got a look inside of the Shrieking Shack was the fact that when Dumbledore constructed it, you know, it was very thoughtful of him for Remus.
I mean, there was wallpaper.
Yeah.
You know, there was like a magnificent four-poster bed.
Magnificent.
You know, Dumbledore was like, you know what I think a good solution would be? And they're like, maybe we just like put him in a room in the castle. And he's like, how about we build him a shack?
Yes.
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 We'll build it. I'll take care of the decorating.
Yes.
Don't worry.
He loves those interior design magazines. Yeah. So when we're looking here at the chapter art, I love that the Shrieking Shack has like a small front garden with a picket fence.
I love the fence. I know that has Dumbledore whimsy. He's like, put up a fence for sure. Yeah.
There was a day where wizard contractors went out there, you know, with their post hole diggers.
Yes.
And they were setting this thing in.
They were. Do you think it was weird for them to like build a brand new house and then immediately board up all the windows? There's nothing suspicious about this.
Right, right.
Yeah.
That's another thing, is that like there's the obvious reason why the Shrieking Shack is considered haunted, but the people of Hogsmeade must have been like, oh, cool, look, somebody's moving in down the street.
Right up there.
What happened?
Wow.
What's going on?
Didn't last a day.
What is wrong with that place?
They built it. It was immediately haunted. Who did this?
Right away. Usually there's age that goes with hauntings.
Yeah, normally like people live there for a while, they die, they come back. This was like, we built a brand new haunted house.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't go anywhere near it, but I guess it's good for tourism or something.
It is one of the top four things to do in Hogsmeade after, of course, the post office.
The post office, great place to go. Hey, you got to see it, Harry. Come on. It's worth risking it.
Can't miss.
Right.
But then sometimes this ends up being the case, and today is one of those occasions where the title itself also is kind of fun. I've got The Servant of Lord Voldemort Sucks.
Yeah, no doubt.
S-U-X.
S-U-X.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah, this is going to be the first chapter where Peter Pettigrew, the man, appears in person. So, just gross. But also the title is a direct reference to Trelawney's, like, prophecy from a few chapters ago.
Yes, of course. The Servant of Lord Voldemort.
The Servant of Lord Voldemort. Chained these many years.
Yes.
As a rat.
As a rat, yeah. I like how the word chained,
is
inside of the prophecy. And it's like that really throws you towards Sirius being, like, imprisoned.
Yeah.
But really, it's just Peter being chained.
He's just like, I mean, it feels like he's stuck.
It does kind of seem like he's stuck. And in fact, I actually do think that there's a big argument we can make inside of this very chapter that may just prove that.
Okay. All right. So coming out of the last chapter, basically, Snape has just appeared in the room. And he's like, guess what? I'm taking you guys down. You guys are bullies to me, and I'm really about to get some revenge right here.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. He's got some, like, dramatic flair. You know?
Dude,
he's
has extreme dramatic flair.
Yes, he whips off. I mean, it says pulls off, but I imagine he whips it off.
Yeah.
The invisibility cloak, his wand pointing directly at Lupin. So that's the scene as we re-enter it now, where Hermione screamed.
I know. Look at that line. I'm like, she screamed? Like, it doesn't seem like that, you know. She's like, it almost could be helpful.
I almost imagine like a kind of corny horror movie where it's like just like an absolute like shriek.
Right.
You know, like camera center stage on Hermione. She's
right.
Like lets out, like just belts it.
I know. I love that. I feel like thunder is crashing in the background. And it's like, dun, dun. Oh, it's just Snape.
It's just Snape. Okay. Yeah, are we really that worried about that?
Yes.
I think everything's going to be fine.
Yeah. Then he says, very useful, Potter. I thank you. Talking about the invisibility cloak, which to me is like, does he know Harry has an invisibility cloak? I mean, he must.
He must.
He's saying it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Look at him paying Harry a compliment.
I know.
It's like, he's like, first you get that outstanding on that potions glass, and, and now this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Very, very good, very,
very good.
But yeah, so then Snape follows it up, and you're kind of wondering as well, perhaps you're wondering how I knew you were here, to which I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, I was wondering. Thank you for it. Glad you asked.
How did you sort it?
Yeah.
And he basically what he says is that Professor Lupin, and this is a good setup for what's going to happen in the next chapter, has forgotten to take his Wolfsbane potion tonight, so he took a goblet for long.
As soon as you read that line, it's like, uh-oh, clock should be ticking. Because even in the chapter art, full moon. Full moon is present.
Oh, you're right. Oh, that's good.
Which makes you wonder, though, like, the full moon is out. Like, why hasn't he transformed yet? Like, you know?
You know, werewolf magic is a little flimsy.
It's very flimsy.
Yeah. It's not always clear what the circumstances are. Is it only when the moon is at its absolute fullest? Or is it like the day before?
Because that's like one instant, you know?
Right, yeah. So you only have a full moon for like a second.
Right, yeah.
And then it's like, you know, it's moving its way the other way. But what he explains is that because he was taking the goblet full down to Lupin's office, it says, lucky for me, lying on your desk was a certain map. To which I'm like, there is no way in the world, you know, Lupin, a.k.a. Mooney, left the Marauder's map unwiped.
I mean, it seems unlikely, that he did. He forgot the mischief managed part.
Yeah.
But I guess he's just sort of staring at it and he's like, Peter, I gotta go. He was definitely
Wolfsbane potion.
Not Wolfsbane potion,
but something else.
Something else. Just like, let me just casually peruse the map here. Oh my God.
I like it.
That's what I think. And then he just rushes out. But Snape seems like he has long suspected of that piece of paper of being a map. He's like, guess what it was? It was a map. And so this is also, people will point, so our theory forever about the map and like, why didn't Fred and George see Peter Pettigrew on the map?
Yeah.
The theory has forever been that the Marauders can see each other on the map, but no one else can see them on the map.
Right.
Right. But, and then people will point to this one and be like, no, but Snape saw where Lupin went.
Right.
And it's like, that seems like it's a problem and it would break that theory. I would say it doesn't because Lupin is the one who would have opened the map.
I agree with you. Yeah. I think that would be like the big detail that could in fact have been different. Like,
yeah.
Because he cracked it open. It's using all of like the code attached to like,
as far as the map's concerned, only Lupin's looking at it.
Right.
So, yeah.
And we know Snape didn't do it on his own because last time it was just a sheer embarrassment.
Oh, absolutely. Snape didn't open the map on his own because he'd just be in his office like, God, not this again.
No!
I washed my hair this afternoon. Yesterday afternoon.
I heard you last time.
Last week. Yeah. So Snape thinks he has got it all figured out. He is just like, he is so, I mean, Snape is going to really lose track of what's going on here. He is like tunnel visualing. His trauma is like really surfacing hard in this chapter. So let's see. He says, and here's the proof. This is the proof that Lupin has been helping him into the castle. Here we go.
He's like, this is the proof. Not even I dreamed you would have the nerve to use this old place as your hideout.
It's like, I was like,
why?
What do you mean?
Would this not be like place number one?
I know. It feels like really obvious.
Right.
Right. Like,
where do the Marauders used to hang?
Right. The shrieking shack. How could Sirius be getting into the castle? How? Where might Lupin be? I don't know.
If only there was a secret passage I was once lured down.
I know, and saw that he was a werewolf.
Yes, yes. This is the moment. It's like, Snape, come on, man.
Snape, yeah, you didn't dream he'd have the nerve? What is that? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's really it. He's like, I wasn't going to tell anybody because I didn't think you'd have the nerve.
Yeah, I was like, I thought about telling Dumbledore, but I was like, he doesn't have the nerve.
Yeah. No gumption there.
Not at all.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, but so Lupin, you can tell, is sort of just like, for Lupin and Sirius, this has got to be the worst thing ever. They're like, they're so close, and all of a sudden, Snape, of all people, shows up.
Yes.
And he is in a foul temper. Lupin's like urgently asking him, like, dude, just chill. Like, we can literally explain everything. No one's here to kill anybody. Peter's a rat. So he's right there.
Now's the moment.
Now is the moment. Now's
like,
the moment.
It's like you can cut to the chase really fast.
Yeah.
Give us the complicated bits later.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, Lupin's like, I can explain. And I'm like, slowly.
Yeah, slowly. Very slowly. They are, Lupin and Sirius, they are like, they are willing to take their time and draw it out and be as vague as possible.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Yes, indeed. But yeah, so then we talked about this a little bit in the last chapter, and it quite continues. I mean, we see it with Ron, where basically Hermione outs Lupin as a werewolf, and you get a couple of lines where, like, Ron even says, "Get away from me, werewolf!" And it's like, geez, man, okay.
Yeah.
But it seems like this prejudice towards werewolves in the wizarding world is pretty rampant.
It is.
Because, like, I feel like Snape goes, like, almost beyond disliking Lupin for reasonable reasons and starts disliking him for being a werewolf. And it's
right.
Like, Snape, man.
Dude, come on.
Do better.
I know. People are like, I know. Like, this is another one of those things, like, when people are, like, defending Snape, and I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, good guy, yes, sort of, but also really didn't like, I mean, he has multiple reasons not to like Lupin. This doesn't seem like one of them.
Yeah. So Dumbledore was quite convinced you were harmless, you know, Lupin. A tame werewolf.
Like, yeah, love Lupin's response. You fool. just like, dude, nothing has changed at all.
Right.
Here we go. Is a schoolboy grudge worth putting an innocent man back in Azkaban? The answer for Snape apparently is yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Thin snake-like cords burst from the ends of Snape's wands, and Lupin is very bound.
Very bound. He is stuck on the floor now. And then, surprisingly, you'd think he just immediately do this to Sirius as well, even because Sirius, like, starts on him. He, like, starts walking towards him. He's like, give me a reason. I'm like, what reason did Lupin give?
Yeah. I mean, you're right. It's like, if anything, the person suspected as being a convicted killer in the room is the one that
tied up the wrong person per your own reasoning.
Right. I suppose if we want to give, like one sliver of defense to this particular decision, you would have the fact that it is a full moon, and the reason that Snape is there is because Lupin didn't take the potion.
Yeah.
So I suppose there is the very light, small argument, which is factually correct, that Lupin is going to transform.
Well, this is Snape being vague as well. This is him not bringing up the obvious problem. He'd be like, you know, first of all, it's full moon, so.
Yes. It could be like, Lupin, this is a tense situation. You do understand. Full moon out there? Why don't we just take some safety precautions? No need to gag him.
No. Yeah, right.
Which it does say he did.
Yeah. How's he going to drink the potion now?
Yeah. Why didn't you bring the potion?
I know.
Right, yeah. But yeah, this is one of those moments, though, where it says, yeah, give me a reason to do it, and I swear I will. And it says, Black stopped dead. It would have been impossible to say which face showed more hatred. And I'm like, it is amazing to me how quickly the tension between these two is just palpable.
Oh, I know. And it never goes away. Like, even, like, if you fast forward to Order of the Phoenix, when Dumbledore is asking Snape to teach him Occlumency, or teach Harry Occlumency, like, Sirius is just down there immediately like, nope, I don't like this plan, not one bit, not him, nuh-uh.
Yeah, this is not the play.
Yep.
This is not going to be the play.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Then what do we have next?
We have Harry standing there having no idea what to do, whom to believe. Like, this is great Harry moments, though, because, like, there is so much vagueness in the air. Like, I don't like Snape, but he's making some good points. And Sirius is apparently a convicted murderer, but maybe he's not. And right. Lupin I've seemed really trustworthy, but now he's a werewolf? Like, everything is confusing. So it's a perfect moment for Harry because he's, like, all instincts. Like, he has to... Oh, it's all he can really trust.
Yes, yes, yeah. Exactly. And then Hermione does chime in, and she's sort of like, you know... Like, Professor Snape, it wouldn't hurt to hear what they've got to say, would yeah, it?
Would it? I'm like, bold.
Hermione, read the room.
Read the room, yeah.
Like, I don't... It doesn't feel like they're about to have a civil conversation,
it
does
really
it?
Doesn't, and Snape is not civil with her. He's like, for once in your life, hold your tongue. Keep quiet, you stupid girl. And I'm like, wow, dude. Like, tell me how you really feel. Like,
yeah, he definitely goes off... Like a rocket
yeah.
at her. Yes. Yes, indeed.
Yeah. I mean, he's suddenly quite deranged. He says, don't talk about what you don't understand, which is just very, very much what he means there is like there's a whole history of like bullying and torment between these people.
Right.
That Hermione has no idea was happening.
Right.
Yeah.
But then Snape does turn his direction back over to Sirius and he says, how I hoped I would be the one to catch you.
Yeah. What have you been doing to help with that?
Yeah. Certainly not scoping out the Shrieking Shack.
I know. Like, I thought I would get you. There's a one really obvious place we could have looked. I didn't bring it up. The nerve.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
Not at all.
Oh, man.
But this is, and then in rare serious fashion, he says, as long as this boy brings his rat up to the castle, he jerks his head at the rat, I'll come quietly. Like, he is literally, like, actually admitting defeat in the moment to Snape.
Yes, I had the exact same note. Yeah. I was like, this is, like, an unexpected amount of, like, level nature from Sirius.
Yes.
That we can't usually depend on so much.
No, especially even the last chapter where he is just like, Lupin, hurry up and tell the story.
Yes.
I've got to murder to do.
Lupin has been holding Sirius back from killing Peter
yeah.
for the past half hour, and now he's like, listen, all we have to do is bring the rat up to the castle. Everything will be fine.
It's
like,
fine.
It's like, Sirius, yes! Yes, that is the correct play here.
Right, that is, yes. It is what you should be trying to go for the whole time, because I don't even know what he thinks. He, like, if he kills him, he's not going to be proven innocent, so it's not a super good plan. But Snape that is threatening, he's like, up to the castle? No need for that. No need to consult with the authorities on this. Let me tell you what, the moment we're outside of that tree, Dementors. Now.
Yeah. And then
quick.
And then he spun his wand and shoved it in his holster like a, yeah. like a, you know, kind of like a cowboy.
Yeah. He does do, what is it? I think he does do some interesting magic here. Where it says, come on, all of you, he said. He clicked his fingers and the ends of the cords that bound Lupin flew to his hands. So that's like nonverbal wandless magic he just casually does there. He's just like...
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, what, that's pretty good.
What is Snape doing here?
I know.
I mean, of course, we know Snape is powerful. It's one thing we can't really take away from him. However, there is sort of like the scene that will eventually happen where Snape is incapacitated and he's sort of like floaty, puppeteered, like exiting from, you know, the Whomping Willow.
Yeah.
And they're kind of like, yeah, his head was lolling around and occasionally like smacking on the top of the thing. And you're like, oh, that's kind of, you know, not the best for Snape there. But
yeah.
I mean, to be fair, Snape's plan for Lupin, and I'm quoting, is I'll drag the werewolf.
Yeah.
I'm like, drag?
Drag?
Like,
you're gonna, yeah. Seems like a lot more work, man.
Yeah, very
unloaded him.
Right, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Snape really just kind of going a little savage in this particular chapter.
Oh, I know. And then, but from his point of view, he's totally the hero here. He's like, I've solved it all. I'm caught Sirius Black, the murderer. I know exactly how he was getting in with Lupin, and I'm going to go save Harry Potter. This is going to be like the best day ever for me.
I know exactly where I'm going to frame my Order of Merlin second class.
I know, right? Oh, I can see it now. And then, as ever, Harry is just like blocking his way, and he's like, what on earth are you doing?
Yes.
Like, if I hadn't been here to save your skin, like, he sees himself as the hero in this situation, which is interesting. Like, he, in his mind, he is saving Harry and Ron and Hermione.
There is that. I mean, he's relishing the fact that they're going to be, you know, expelled.
Yeah.
Like, he's super jazzed
right.
about that. I mean, that actually, you have to imagine that Snape is living his absolute finest moment.
Oh, I know. He's like, not only will I get credit for saving Dumbledore's favorite student, but I'll simultaneously get him expelled. This is amazing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in his mind, Sirius and Lupin, two people who had notoriously bullied him
yeah.
all through high school, and Harry, Ron, and Hermione, the three students who drive him crazy in the present, are all about to be
all gone.
This castle is about to be great for him.
It's about to be good. It's about to be like the old days.
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know. Was he ever happy? Do you think like there was a period of time where he's just teaching and he's just like, you know what? I kind of like teaching.
It's a fulfilling career.
It's a fulfilling career.
Yeah.
Teaching the kids the potions and the stuff.
Because he knows the potions.
He knows them. Yeah. We know he's good at it.
Right.
Yeah. I doubt it. I somehow doubt it.
But then Harry does counter, and he's like, Professor Lupin could have killed me about 100 times this year. I've been alone with him loads of times, having defense lessons against the Dementors.
You know, if only Voldemort had used this logic with Barty Crouch Jr. the next year, right?
Dude, he wants the blood on his own hands.
He wants the blood on his own hands. It's just like, Professor Lupin could have killed me about 100 times. Barty Crouch could have killed you about 100 times.
If anything.
And he wants to.
Right, yes, yeah. Well, that's classic Voldemort getting in his own way.
Oh, I know. You know? It's like, you've got him, man. Game, set, match. He's alone in the room with him all the time.
You can
You're
win.
Teaching the curse to him.
Right.
In
right.
front of him. Just be like, look at this spider. Avada Kedavra. Ah, we win. Oh,
we
I
win!
Did it. I did it.
And then, then he does like the like soaring like soccer celebration. Like, yeah,
yeah. Everyone's like, what just happened?
Harry, you dead?
You dead. Oh, man.
We didn't see that coming.
We did not see that coming. And he's like, I did. I have a magic eye. What? Yeah. Oh, it's like, guys, look. I'm not even the real Bad Eye Moody. Pff, transforms in front of them.
I know.
Yeah.
It'd be a big day for Barty Crouch Jr.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nope, Voldemort's in his own way, as usual.
As per usual.
Yep.
But yeah, Harry's basically like, you know, if he was helping Black, why didn't he just finish me off then? And then Snape's at it again. He's like, don't ask me to fathom the way a werewolf's mind works. It's like...
That's a really weak answer, man.
He's not always in werewolf form.
Right.
In fact, he almost never is.
For like a few hours a month or something at night. But then, boy, Harry just, he gets it back. He just goes, you're pathetic. Just because they've been a fool of you in school, you won't even listen. Like, oh, and this touches a nerve. Like, Snape is losing it here. It's just like, silence! I will not be spoken to like that!
Ugh. And then Snape shrieked.
And then he shrieked.
I think we should. Yeah, it says it right there.
Yeah.
Snape shrieked.
Snape shrieked, looking madder than ever.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. Like father, like son. You would have been well served if he'd killed you. You'd have died like your father, too arrogant to believe you might be mistaken in Black.
Oh, I know. I'm like,
it's like Snape.
Snape. Like, listen to your own words. Yeah, that's like a very, very good little verbal irony right there, because it is actually Snape in the moment who's too arrogant to believe that he might be mistaken as Black.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. But this is the moment, though, that I think pushes everyone all at once over the edge.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Harry busts out a quick Expelliarmus, but he's not alone.
Yeah. Hermione and Ron. At the exact same time, all of them blast him.
This is the type of moment where it's like there's a lot of text separating these particular things. But basically, I feel like right after the you'd have died like your father line, they were like, all right, that's enough.
Okay.
Yeah. Sleeves are going up now. You're going down.
What's interesting is that they just clearly feel that Snape has gone deranged, because even though all three of them attack him, they still don't quite believe Sirius. Like, this is just a matter of like attacking Snape, not even like, we're pretty sure Sirius is innocent, dude. Okay,
because right. they're a lot gonna of go explanation.
Yeah,
left.
There's still a lot of explanation. They're just like, oh, okay, you're getting really out of hand. We're gonna rein that in. So the triple blast of Expelliarmus knocks him out, which is so inconvenient, because it's like if Snape could have just been awake to see the whole thing,
it would have helped.
It would have helped a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think this is like a writing challenge where you need him to not be there for it. So it's like you need to have him show up and then be knocked unconscious.
Right.
So
to see just the wrong parts.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so he flies across the room. A trickle of blood is oozing from his hair. And you're like, ow.
So they all hit him with Expelliarmus here. Do you think that means that all three of them like share mastery of Snape's wand now?
I love it.
Yeah. Right?
Forever.
He's like, Snape's this thing doesn't work anymore.
I sure am having trouble these days.
Jeez.
Hermione comes over and she's like, you want some help with
you
that?
You want some help with that? Give you some pointers.
Amazingly, the words, you shouldn't have done that, then come from Sirius Black.
Yeah, I'm like, I think they should have, man.
Yeah, I'm just surprised that Sirius isn't like, nice one.
I know, he's like, oh yeah, nice one, James.
Nice one,
Harry.
What's your name? Nice one, Hermione.
Yeah,
and Ron.
Yeah, redhead kid. What's your name?
Sorry about your leg.
But not about your rat. Yeah.
But not about your rat, yeah. Yes.
Oh, man. So that even now, though, Harry, he can't make eye contact with them. So he's like, he doesn't know if he's done the right thing. He's like, well, that might have been so dumb. That might have been so dumb.
Yeah,
and Hermione is like immediately backtracking. She's like, we attacked a teacher.
We are going to be in so much trouble.
Yeah, but nah, they're not.
Everything's fine. Everything's
yeah, basically
fine.
No trouble.
Yep. Lupin gets untied. They say thank you. And Harry's like, I'm still not going to believe you. And then Sirius is like, then it's time we offered you some proof. And it's like, yes.
Yeah, it is about time.
We have been in the Shrieking Shack for 3 chapters.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the time.
You guys should have led with this.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
You know what? We can talk about this in a second. Give me the rat. Watch this. Pfft, man. Oh, crap.
Yeah, then hang on to
him. He's a runner.
He's a... Yeah. a little bit of a flight risk.
Yeah, bit of flight risk. Hold on. What was that tie-up spell?
Yeah. Then the book starts to do this thing where it needs to ask a lot of questions.
A lot of questions.
That you, the reader, might also be like, hey, but wait.
Yeah.
First of which is like, you know, there are millions of rats.
Yeah.
How do you know this is the one if you've been locked up in Azkaban? And then Lupin's like, hey, Sirius, that's a good
question.
Pretty
solid.
How did you find out where he was?
Yeah, but it's like Remus at least knows for sure that it is Peter because he's seen him on the map.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
He's so, like, hey, you are correct, and I am sure of it. But like, yeah, how on earth?
How did you pull that off? Yeah. And then we get a black one of his claw-like hands into his robes. And I'm like, claw-like hands? Why do we have claw-like hands?
Dog?
Paw-like?
Paw-like.
Yeah.
Padfoot-like.
Yeah.
Maybe. Something like that.
Anyway, confusing descriptors aside,
whatever.
He pulls out the photograph.
Pulls out the photograph of Ron and his family from the Daily Prophet, and there on Ron's shoulder was Scabber. So it's like, man, if the Weasleys didn't win the lottery.
I know.
Like, you know.
I know.
That is a big win.
It is. It's a lottery win in a lot of ways.
Yes.
Yeah. Because this is rather unexpected. And also it's kind of one of these things where basically like what's happening here is the discovery of like Sirius is like, how many times have I seen him transform? And then like Lupin is catching on. He's like, my God, his front paw. And I'm like, what is the resolution on this photo?
I know, you right?
Know? Like. 50,000 megapixels.
I know. They can just zoom in and see it. It's like, wow. Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah,
I know. Do you ever do that with like an analog piece of paper where you're like, I need to see closer, and you try to like and zoom, and you're like, oh, no.
Oh, right.
My brain has been rotted. I'm trying to zoom in on paper.
Yep. Can't do it. And Lupin is starting to come to, he's like, see, more of the pieces are coming together. It's like, so simple, so brilliant. He cut off his finger just before he transformed. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's like you start to see even back then, because for the rest of the chapter, like Peter is not super smart and he's not like a good person, but he is a really fast thinker.
He is. Like, he is extremely quick on his feet because there is the big question of like how on earth is Peter getting the best of Sirius in this situation?
Right.
And to be fair, Sirius is rather distraught during this particular situation, but like Peter is in extreme grave danger.
Yeah.
Like 5 more seconds in what is described having happened is what Sirius is going to do.
Right.
He's about to blow him up.
Yeah. He's going to kill him.
And somehow, yeah, he's like, okay, I got a plan. I just need to be okay with cutting off one of my fingers.
Yeah.
Because we can all get to that quickly.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. But he does. He yells for the whole street to hear. So he just like totally misdirects everybody, blows up the street, and that's it. Turns into a rat. No one sees him get away. Sirius thinks he's dead, leaves behind the finger. It's like, even Sirius is fooled.
Right. Yes. Yeah. And then there's the big question. And there's like, you know, Scabbers probably had a fight with another rat or something. He's been in my family for ages. And then this is where we kind of go back to that moment from the menagerie where, you know, they're basically like garden, you know, variety rats don't usually live past like 3 years, which
right.
is just also factually correct out here in the real world as well.
Like, yeah.
Rats don't have a huge lifespan. And so
oh,
it's like,
such a red herring. It's like, oh yeah. Or not a red herring. It's such a red flag.
It's such a red flag.
Like you should notice that. You should be like, oh, that is a problem.
Yeah, right. It's almost surprising that like Molly and Arthur aren't like, I cannot believe this rat hasn't died.
It's like, good job, Ron. Yeah. You're really good at keeping a rat.
Can you imagine if Molly and Arthur had like one accolade that they were willing to grant Ron?
Right.
And it was his you know, the way he takes care of his
skills as a rat keeper.
Yes. Yeah. They're like, you know, the rest of the family are doing some pretty big things, but hey, look at you.
Right? Percy got 12 OWLs. Fred and George opened their own shop. Ron, good with rats.
Excellent.
And we're very proud of him.
Poor Ron.
Poor Ron.
It turns out he can't even.
Actually, it turns out that wasn't even the case.
Right.
He's just a dude.
He's a real life human.
He's a real life person. So that's why he was living so long.
Yep. We were taking good care of him. I'm going to be a magic zoologist.
Oh boy.
This is a good moment for Harry though, because Lupin points out, he's like, I bet he's not looking too good at the moment. And Ron is like, well, he's been scared of that mad cat, pointing at Crookshanks.
Yeah.
And then right away, Harry's like, no, that's not right.
Actually,
because remember, the reason we went into the menagerie is because Scabbers wasn't looking good. So like things were already askew.
Yeah. So, like, but like, even that, you were thrown off the scent because Ron's explanation for this is that Egypt didn't agree with him. So you're like, I guess that makes sense. I don't know how rats do in Egypt. You know, a lot of travel anxiety. I don't know.
That could be it. That could be it. That's, I mean, you know, sure.
It makes sense when you read it. You're like, because you have like Scabbers, whatever. He's a rat. He's sick. Okay.
Yeah.
Right?
That could. That's reasonable enough. But no, so basically what Black says is that Crookshanks isn't mad. He's the most intelligent kind of cat he's ever met. And basically, like, right away knew that there was something off with Scabbers. And
yes.
With time, Sirius was able to win over Crookshanks, which I actually like that detail, because it means that, like, Crookshanks, when he met Sirius for the first time, was also like, hey, there's something weird about you too.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just the rat.
Right. He's like, that's a dude. And he's like, and that's a dude. Whoa. Okay.
They're all dudes.
Why are all the animals in this? What's going on?
Are you guys at least registered? You did the paperwork, did right?
They? Nope.
You didn't do the paperwork.
Did the paperwork.
No. Yeah. No one does.
All right.
McGonagall did.
But eventually, I guess, Sirius is able to... I'm curious how they're communicating, like, in some kind of English or whatever, because he says he tried to bring Peter to me but couldn't. He stole the passwords into Gryffindor Tower for me. As I understand it, he took them from a boy's bedside table. Like, how does Crookshanks communicate all of that to Sirius? Like, you know? It's not like you would just assume that, because, like, Crookshanks doesn't even stay in Harry's dorm, you know? He lives in Hermione's dorm.
I've just realized that if I answer all of my future J versus Ben questions with meow,
right, you could be saying anything.
Nobody could say I'm wrong.
Yeah,
I'd be like, yeah, no, mine means what he means.
That's what it means. Meow. I spoke cat language.
Cheat code ties for the rest of my life.
There you go. Bam. All cats all the time.
Also, you got to feel bad for Neville, because when he's outed for being the one who lost all the passwords, it's like it's perceived as if it's forgetfulness, which you're like, classic Neville.
Yep.
And then it's like, nope.
The cat stole them from him.
Yeah, it's like poor guys being forced to stand out there with those security trolls.
I know.
Just awkwardly waiting.
I don't think he even gets like redemption for this. Like Harry, Ron, and Hermione know, but like everyone else is like, Neville.
Yeah.
Like they just continue to believe that he made this terrible mistake.
I like to think like 3 years after they graduate, they're all like out on vacation and they're like, they finally bring it up with him. And, you know, they like, let him know. Like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, by the way, Crookshanks stole the passwords. And Neville's like, what?
What? Your cat?
Oh. McGonagall is getting an owl. I am, you know.
Yeah.
She needs to know. Yeah, we all need that validation.
So then they realize that Crookshanks causes Peter to fake his own death because that worked once before. And this jolts Harry to his senses. And he's sort of like, wait. We still... don't, like, why do I trust you at all? Isn't that, like, you were going to kill him like you killed my parents? And it's like, yeah, you're right. Even as the reader, you're like, I'm starting to come around on this idea. But,
right.
Like, you still don't have any reason just yet.
Right, exactly.
And then Sirius goes on to continue to be as vague as ever. Harry's like, or Lupin's trying to explain. He's like, no, all this time we thought Sirius betrayed your parents. Peter tracked him down, but it's the other way around. Peter betrayed your mother and father. And Harry's like, no, that's not true. He said he killed them before you got here. Like, he admitted to it. And Sirius is like, I as good as killed them, Harry. You're right. Thank you. I'll reiterate it. I basically killed them.
Yes.
It's like, dude.
I wrote the exact same thing. I was like, to be fair, he has not been clear about this.
Not been clear at all. Yeah. Terrible lawyer Sirius would have made.
Yes.
Not that they have lawyers in the wizarding world, but...
Well, yeah. And even after this, he doubled down on it. He's like, Harry, I as good as killed them. Mm-hmm. I persuaded Lily and James to change to Peter at the last moment. Persuaded them to use him as a secret keeper instead of me. I'm to blame. I know it. Sirius.
Yeah. Then he says, like, yeah, the night they died, he just had, like, a bad feeling about Peter. Went to go check if he was safe, arrived at his hiding place, and he was gone. And realizes that that's the night that Voldemort's going to attack them. Says, I realize what Peter must have done. What I done. Which, very sad. And you can see why he blames himself, but, like, he could really phrase it differently.
He really could, especially in this particular moment.
Especially in this moment.
Tensions are high.
Very high.
Yeah.
Through the Gryffindor is sponsored by Shopify. Y'all, when we started making content online, I remember the very first time someone left a comment asking where they could buy our merch. And it was a wild moment. Almost like seriously, a rite of passage. I was on, like, cloud 9 until I realized I had to find a way to make that possible. But that is where Shopify steps in. Shopify makes it so easy to take that comment to heart and put, like, all of our first t-shirts online available for, you know, that one person that wanted it. But now, years later, we rely on Shopify every day and have a whole lineup of products from coffee to candles and, of course, t-shirts. And while we always love the comments letting us know what y'all want, Shopify also makes it easy to know what y'all are loving. So upgrade your business and get the same checkout we use with Shopify. You can sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/griffin, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/griffin to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/griffin.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
At Humana, our Medicare Advantage plans give you coverage and care you can count on, along with guided support to help you feel your best. You could have a plan with a $0 premium or an all-in-one plan that may include medical and prescription coverage, as well as routine dental, vision, and hearing. Learn more at gethumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
But so, like, it's interesting because, like, Peter... Well, I don't know. We'll get to it later. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. So, basically, at this point in time, Lupin is like, enough of this. And I'm like, yes, I agree.
Yeah.
There's a steely note in his voice Harry had never heard before. There's one way to prove what really happened. Ron, give me the rat.
Dude, give me the rat is also, like... this is one you don't know if you're just listening to it. It's, like, in italics, which, to me, reads more like Lupin is just like... Give me that rat.
Yes.
Like we are going to just stop the talking. There's one obvious thing we need to do.
Yes. Yeah. And it's like the thing that's part of it. It's like it's not a complicated spell.
Yeah.
We can do it right here in the room. We don't need any special equipment or anything. They're just like, we can just force him to show himself. If he's really a rat, it won't hurt him.
Yeah.
And then Ron hesitated and at long last holds out Scabbers, which, you know, this is another time we got to bring up the fact that Ron has been holding on to a rat that has otherwise been thrashing for the better part of an hour.
Yeah, just scratching and biting him for like the last 30 minutes.
Right, because you have to assume that Peter is listening to all this.
All of this, right? He's like, this is bad.
He's like,
that's not good.
I have been caught.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
Oh,
if
boy.
Only I can get away. But Ron has really got a death grip on me.
Dude, he is holding on to Scabbers to Peter the entire time Sirius is dragging him through the tunnel.
With a broken leg.
With a broken leg. They get to the Shrieking Shack. They go up the stairs.
Yeah.
Like, meanwhile, Ron the whole time is like, I got you, Scabbers. Don't worry. I'll protect you.
Nothing bad will happen to you.
Definitely nothing bad's going to happen to you. Maybe Harry.
Right, right.
But you're safe. Don't worry. I'll hold on to you for dear life.
Yes.
Yeah.
So finally, the moment has come. Ready, Sirius, as Lupin Black walks over and retrieves Snape's wand from the bed. This is one of those trivia moments where if you were to ask me, whose wand does Sirius use to turn Peter from rat form into human form? I'm like, I don't know if I would come up with Snape.
Nope.
Hermione's?
Maybe.
Wands? Harry's?
Yeah. A lot Lupin's. Of wands switching places in this particular scene.
Yeah. Does anybody even have their own wand anymore?
But so.
Snape's wand. And then they look at each other and they say, together. And then they do it.
Peter is back. A head was shooting upward from the ground. Limbs were sprouting. A moment later, a man was standing where Scabbers had been, cringing and wringing his hands. Which is like, this is the first time he's been in human form in like 12 years.
Yes.
Yeah. It's weird. It's like, I feel like he'd have like trouble walking, you know?
You would think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like his muscles have got to be like atrophied or rat-trophied.
Rat-trophied. Yes, exactly. They're rat-trophied.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll go with that.
We'll go with that.
That will work forever. All right. Let's see here. We get a great description of his skin, which I highlighted because we've been getting a lot of skin descriptions.
Mm-hmm.
And the Wizarding World is big on skin.
Yeah.
You know.
She's got nice skin.
She's got nice skin.
As far as skin goes.
You know who doesn't have nice skin?
Peter.
Peter.
Yeah.
You know what it is? Grubby.
Grubby.
Grubby skin. Yeah.
Grubby skin. It probably would be. He's been a rat for 12 years. My goodness. And then Lupin, as ever, is just so jaunty about it all. He's like, well, hello, Peter. Long time no see. Look at that. It was you the whole time. How you doing, old pal?
Yes.
Kill anybody?
Yeah. Right. This is another one of those moments, and I can't believe I've never caught it before, but I always love how Dumbledore is like so proper and like quietly, gently, politely passive aggressive.
Yes.
And I feel like Lupin is sort of like, I like that.
I like that.
That's how I'm going to be. So he says, well, hello there, said Lupin pleasantly.
Yes. And then like immediately though, Peter is like, he's got a plan. He's just going to act like, he's going to make it seem like it is really weird that somehow he showed up here. Like that he wasn't the rat.
Weird.
He's like, serious? Remus, what are you doing here?
I've been dead.
Now I'm back in your... Wow. My old friends, how are you?
I know, yeah. He immediately... I mean, and it is like... The way in which Peter does the thing where he always tries to go to, like, the safest person.
Yeah.
It's like he is falling down a ladder.
Oh, my gosh. He goes from, like... literally person to person in the room.
Yes. So yeah. It's like, who is my best shot of not killing me? Sirius? Lupin? We used to be pals.
We're friends. We're good.
Are we still... No?
No?
No.
Okay.
This is not working.
No. Okay. Yeah. Next. Yeah. Next on the list.
So he'll work his way down as we go.
Yeah. But Lupin, as ever, just starts teaching class, basically. Like, we've been having a little chat, Peter, about what happened the night Lily and James dies. You might have missed the finer points squeaking around down there. Let me reiterate a few things for you.
Yes.
And then, Peter's just doing his thing. He's like, Remus, you don't believe him, do you? He tried to kill me. And he's like, he's so good at just like reinforcing the story that already exists.
I know.
No, he's still lying to you. What happened happened. What you believe for 12 years is what happened.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, this is where Peter does a kind of miraculous job.
Yeah.
Because like, I mean, he is in, again, like serious danger.
Oh, serious.
Yeah. Yeah.
Danger.
Danger. Because of Sirius.
Because of Sirius.
Yes.
Absolutely. He's got like 30 seconds to sow a lot of doubt in everyone's mind.
And I mean, he honestly, I wouldn't say it's successful because I hate him.
Yeah.
But I would say it's not like, it's reasonable.
Yeah.
He comes up with some counter arguments. So
yeah, he's thinking fast.
He is thinking fast.
Yeah.
Let's see here. So yeah, he's come to try to kill me again.
Which is true.
Yes.
He
killed Lily and James and he's going to kill me too. You've got to help me, Remus.
Yo, good squeak.
Thanks. Thanks. Yeah. We need Isabel up here in her standard talking voice.
Let's see. So now they're trying to sort things out. And it's like if you're just the reader, you can like read that it's like his eyes are taking in the boarded windows again. And the only door, like Peter's clearly just looking all around the room. Like, where do I go? Where do I go? Oh my God, I'm going to get stuck. Oh God, who do I got to talk to next?
Yes.
And then, yeah, Lupin's like, just calling him on all of his crap, though. He's like, you knew Sirius was going to break out of Azkaban when literally no one's ever done it before? Yeah, and then, I mean, he just uses all of the correct arguments. He's like, he's got dark powers the rest of us can only dream of. He says, I suppose he who must not be named taught him a few tricks. Even his failure to use Voldemort's name here. It's like, he's just acting like someone who wouldn't say Voldemort's name.
I know, yeah. I know, yes, yes. It's very clever. And I mean, this is even something that I feel like comes up later on in the series where like somebody says the exact same thing about Snape, like in his ability to fly. They're like, yeah. Looks like somebody's been learning some tricks from their master. And
right.
It's like, maybe Voldemort like does like tutoring on Tuesdays.
Yeah, right. You know? flying lessons, everyone.
Yes.
Line up.
Yes, up.
Yeah, just say it to yourself now. It's like a broom, really.
No, but I
hope that's it.
I know.
Oh, that was easy. I can't believe no one tried that.
Right. But yeah, so then, but I do, what I do like about this is the way that Sirius responds is so vehement that he's like, Voldemort, teach me tricks. Like, he is like, that is ridiculous.
Right.
First of all. Yes.
Absolutely. And then I love how Sirius is not afraid to say Voldemort's name. And I think Remus is going to said it in the last chapter as well. So like, which most of the characters like around Harry don't say it except for Dumbledore and Harry. So it's pretty telling that they're saying it out loud. And it has like the intended effect on Peter, who flinches at the name. He's like, his lot are not happy with you, bro.
Yeah.
Like, I've been in prison with them. And Peter's like, don't know what you mean, Sirius. Like, why would they not like me? Yeah.
Oh, and that's where Sirius is like, you haven't been hiding from me. You've been hiding from them.
Yeah.
Because they think the double crosser double crossed them, because just as it turns out, the same night that you double crossed the good guys, Voldemort also lost.
Right.
And so they're like, yeah, they're like, nobody's happy with you, Peter.
Yeah, right. So he's basically hiding from everyone. Just stuck where in rat form though the entire time.
Yes.
So Voldemort went to the Potters on your information. If the Death Eaters ever got wind that you were still alive, Peter. And Peter's still acting like, I have no idea what you're talking about. What, me? What? Like, it's impressive that he's really holding on to it despite having just turned into a man.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
He's like, you guys are crazy. Me?
Right.
Like, no.
This is like being caught at the crime scene with the blood on your hand and being like, trust me, I had nothing to do with it.
I don't know what you're talking
about.
I was not involved with whatever is going on here. Yeah.
So then Lupin is like, I must admit, Peter, I have difficulty in understanding why an innocent man would want to spend 12 years as a rat. And
yeah.
Even that, he doesn't miss a beat. He's like, I'm innocent, but scared.
Yeah.
If Voldemort supporters were after me, it was because I put one of their best men, Sirius Black, in Azkaban.
That's such fast thinking. It's like, I can see that. Yeah, all right, yeah. Other than the fact that you clearly were just turned into a man. But, yeah. And then, let's see. Black is like, how dare you? I, a spy for Voldemort? And then he's like, I'll never understand why I didn't see you were the spy from the start. And it's like, this must have been, it makes me think of the scene, I think it's in Order of the Phoenix, when Moody is showing Harry, like, the original Order of the Phoenix.
Yes.
And he's, like, just going down the line, like, this person died, this person died, this person died.
Right.
And it's like, Peter is the spy that whole time. It's like, how many people are dead at his hands? Like, you know?
That's bad.
Yeah, I know. It's like, you don't know those stories, but it's like, they're in a secret organization, you know?
Well, and that's the thing, like, yeah, because I think as the chapter unfolds here, what we're going to discover is that, like, he's been passing information to Voldemort for over a year.
I know.
Before James and Lily died. So, yeah, I think you're exactly correct. I mean,
yeah.
Some of those people fall after Voldemort falls,
yeah.
I think, because, like, Frank and Alice Longbottom, I mean, they don't die, but, like, they're tortured.
Well, that's not by Voldemort, though. That's by, like, the other Death Eaters.
Right, yes.
But,
yes.
Like, the Fabian and Gideon Pruitt, I can imagine it's Peter's information that, like, gets them found out.
Probably so.
And then he just goes and lives with their sister, which is pretty terrible.
Oh, no.
I know.
Can you imagine what Molly Weasley would have done to that rat if she had known? Oh, my God.
I know. Like, you need more reasons to hate Peter.
I kind of wish we found out.
I know.
Yeah. That would have been good.
That sounds like a Marauders plot.
Yes. Yeah, yes, indeed. Okay. But yeah, this is the line, really. I mean, this describes Peter's MO just perfectly. You always liked big friends who'd look after you, didn't you? It used to be us, me and Remus and James.
Yeah. Oh, I know. It's bad. And like Pete, Sirius thinks he's got like such a good plan in switching to Peter, which is like it speaks so much to like how much like Sirius values friendship. Like he can't imagine a world where Peter would be like, you know, tattling on them to Voldemort about everything.
Yes.
And he's like, here's the thing. They're definitely going to think it's me.
Right.
Like, they're coming after me, and they're definitely not going to come after you, because why would they?
Right.
Like, yeah. It's like, weird, because, like, on the one hand, he is, like, such valued friendship. Like, you know, Peter could never be doing it. But at the same time, he's like, but Peter's kind of worthless, so.
Yeah. you don't think there's a world where Sirius was like, we don't really need him on the team. What's he doing?
Yeah.
Like that, yeah. I don't think that's why he suggested it.
No, I don't think so.
But yeah, then this line from Sirius. It must have been your finest moment of your miserable life telling Voldemort you could hand him the Potters.
Yeah. Probably.
Then Peter starts sputtering.
Yeah. Now he's really just sort of like, he's at a loss. He's run out of excuses.
Yes. I do like what happens next, though, because Hermione and Lupin kind of have a hilarious exchange where Hermione's like, Professor Lupin, can I say something? And then Lupin's like, certainly, Hermione.
Yes.
And like, are these two ever not in class?
I know. He's like 5 points to Gryffindor.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. But like, Hermione is like, thankfully, like the voice of the audience here. She's like, well, Scabbers, I mean, this man, he's been sleeping in Harry's dorm for 3 years. If he's working for you know who, she doesn't say his name. How come he never tried to hurt Harry before now? And Peter is like, yes, exactly.
That's a really good thing.
I like you. You are smart. Yeah, great point. I wouldn't have hurt him. I would never hurt Harry. I wouldn't do that. But Sirius is still on me. Because you never did anything for anyone unless you could see what was in it for you. A point that Peter is going to prove, like, in one page from now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the thing. So it's like, on some level, it's like, Peter is so, like, he doesn't have any goals of his own. He just wants his own personal, like, safety in this particular situation. Because it's like, it's not like he's trying to, like, finish Lord Voldemort's noble work or something like that. It's like, you're not about to commit murder right under Albus Dumbledore's nose, like for a wreck of a wizard like Voldemort who lost all of his power. So it's like, you'll just be doomed.
Right.
You know, you go kill Harry at school, Dumbledore is going to flip.
Yeah, like he doesn't really care about Voldemort's plan and he doesn't really care about the Order of the Phoenix. It's just like who he thinks is going to be safer with.
Right.
It's like, if there's no wizarding war at all, you imagine Peter's just sort of like off by himself, just living a regular life.
Like on a beach somewhere? Like
that's gross. Yeah, I can imagine. Oh, no thanks.
I don't think his grubby skin could handle it.
No, definitely not.
The sand would just...
Just, yeah. Maybe Egypt. Yeah. Hasn't been kind to him. Let's see. So now we get to the other point, though, like where everyone's like, yeah, Sirius is out of Azkaban. But Hermione's like, I have a question. How'd you get out of Azkaban if you didn't use dark magic? And Peter, again, just like latches on for dear life. He's like, exactly.
Yes.
That's what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. Who are you? I like you.
Yes.
So Hermione just keeping everyone on track here. And Sirius gives a somewhat helpful answer. He says, I don't know how I did it, man. I think your guess is as good as mine. I'm here now.
His exact phrase is, I don't know how I did it. And I'm like, nope, back it up. Let's try again.
He says, I think the only reason I never lost my mind is that I knew that I was innocent. And that wasn't a happy thought. So the Dementors couldn't suck it out of me. But it kept me sane, knowing how I am. And then I guess he is allowed to keep able to keep his powers because of this and can transform in his cell, to become a dog, which is interesting because like Peter in the next chapter is going to like have to grab Lupin's wand off the ground in order to transform himself back into a rat. And like, obviously it seems like he was stuck as a rat for 12 years as well.
I mean, that's where chained has to be coming from.
That's where the chained part has to be coming from, yeah, in the prophecy. So it's like, but Sirius, on the other hand, can obviously go back and forth without a wand at all.
Yes.
Right, so it's like, you can do it.
There's definitely like shades of skill I think we have to assign to the animagus process, because Sirius can do it a lot better than Peter can.
Absolutely.
Which is, I mean, that's no surprise to anybody. But.
Yeah.
Let's see here.
But then there's another interesting bit about Animagus here, where he says that, like, when he's talking about the Dementors, they could tell my feelings were less human, less complex when I was a dog, which is like, so when you're an animal, do you, like, have less human emotions? It's not like you're, like, a human in animal form. It's like you kind of are that animal.
I know, and that's an interesting question as well, because just a few minutes ago when Peter got transformed, Lupin says to him, we've been having a little chat, Peter, about what happened the night that Lily and James died. And it's like, if Peter has just been able to, like, listen to that entire conversation, he's like, yeah, Remus, I know.
Right.
Like, I was there.
Yeah.
In that kid's hands.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, he was just kind of squirming around over there, not paying attention.
Maybe that distracted him. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm surprised, like, how did Sirius ever even track Peter down? Like, why does it just turn into a rat that night, you know? Seems like that might have helped.
Oh. You mean the night that the Potters died?
Yeah. I'm peacing out of here.
I'm going to bounce.
Gots to go.
Right, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, as a rat, it feels like you could literally go hide just anywhere.
Just about anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, not going to be found. I guess Sirius is going to keep looking for him pretty much no matter what. But and then Sirius brings up what I think is not a great point. He's like, if one hint reached his ears that the dark side was gathering strength again, and I'm like, well, I mean, there was that whole quarrel situation.
Even then, the Chamber of Secrets.
There was a whole Chamber of Secrets situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there were some hints.
There were some moments, yeah, where Peter could have, like, sort of, like, stepped forward and been like, aha!
Aha!
Riddle diary.
Yeah. Hey, Basilisk. Yeah, find the diary.
Yes.
Right? That'd be terrible. If Peter starts writing in the diary.
Ooh. Yes, but then, yeah, the thing that he then follows it up with, like, yeah, if he heard word that the dark side was gathering strength again, ready to strike at the right moment, and he could be sure of his allies and to deliver the last Potter to them, if he gave them Harry, who'd dare say that he betrayed Lord Voldemort? He'd be welcomed back with honors. And this is kind of a big deal, because it means that, like, Sirius breaking out of Azkaban, it's like, he is Harry's godfather, and so all of us could be like, okay, the reason that he wants to go and track down Peter is because he needs to protect Harry. That is, like, his responsibility as godfather.
Right.
But Sirius might actually know more than that. Like, if they get Harry, that's, like, the piece of the puzzle that would lead Voldemort to seizing power ultimately and completely. So
right.
It's not just protecting Harry. It's protecting everyone who would be, like, a victim of Voldemort's reign.
Right. So I guess that's why I had to break out. So I had to do something. I was the only one who knew Peter was still alive. And then they start talking about, like, how they it's explained, like, why he was whispering in his sleep he's at Hogwarts, because he was talking about Peter, not Harry. So then he explains, so one night they opened my door to bring me food. I slipped past them as a dog. It's much harder for them to sense animal emotions. And he just swims back to the mainland as a dog. He swims all the way across.
Yeah.
I don't know how far that is.
But. It says, I was thin, very thin. And I'm like, every single description of you ever has been big, big, big dog.
Big dog.
So
yeah.
He's like, I was very thin. I got back to the mainland and then ate like 47 cheeseburgers.
I was so hungry.
After that, I journeyed north and slipped into the Hogwarts grounds as a dog. I've been living in the forest ever since, except when I came to watch the Quidditch, of course.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
You know what's interesting about that phrasing, the Quidditch?
Yeah.
Is it kind of sounds like, hey, what are you watching? The sports?
The sports, yeah.
Sirius doesn't play Quidditch. I don't think that he was a jock. I don't think he knows Quidditch very good.
Uh-oh.
If he calls it the Quidditch.
I need to watch the Quidditch.
What are you watching, the football?
Yeah. You watching the football?
Watching the sports?
Right.
And so I'm kind of like, was he a bit, you know, like less cool than we realized?
It is a surprise. You'd think Sirius would have been on the Quidditch team.
But he says the Quidditch.
But he says the Quidditch. Yeah. Yeah.
It's
Regulus was on the Quidditch team.
I know.
Yeah.
It must be a real chip on his shoulder.
I know. Jeez. Oh, well.
I don't know why that line stood out to me so much, but I was like, that's a weird way to phrase it.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, but the Quidditch is the moment where Harry sees the Grim on the top stands.
Right, yeah. So explaining that away. So you fly as well as your father did, Harry. Let's see. Believe me, Harry, I never betrayed Jizz and Lily. I would have died before I betrayed them. And this is the moment where Harry finally believes him. He says, at long last, Harry believed him. Boom. They've done it. They've convinced him. We've covered all the bases.
Yes. And I do think it's the fact that it's that line in particular makes sense, because when everything starts unfolding in the first place, Ron literally says, you'll have to kill us. You'll have to go through us first. So basically what Harry is seeing is his own brand of friendship reflected right back at him.
Right. If this is how my friends are, and that's how you felt to my parents, like, I can't, it means Harry can't imagine a world where Ron would betray him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. So, but Peter has a few more. Now he's really, really desperate, because he can tell that Harry has been convinced. So he starts going from person to person, starting with Lupin. It says, you don't believe this one. Seriously, I've told you if they change the plan. And this is where Peter, crossing why didn't, Lupin and Sirius talk about this before now? Why didn't Lupin come to his senses, basically? And he says, not if he thought I was the spy. I assume that's why you didn't tell me. And they're like, oh yeah, we both basically assumed the other one was the spy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. And so they have a good moment where they're like, forgive me, Remus, not at all, Padfoot, old friend.
Right.
So,
yeah. There's a ghost of a grin. Yes. I love that. He's just like, this is kind of fun all of a sudden, you know. We're getting through to him.
Old tricks are back.
I know.
There is the moment where it says, said Lupin, who is now rolling up his sleeves. And I'm like, do you need to roll up your sleeves to cast a spell?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Just for kind of a dramatic effect.
Metaphorical rolling up his sleeves.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he goes to Ron. Ron, haven't I been a good friend, a good pet? Ron's response is, I let you sleep in my bed. feels so bad for Ron.
I know.
You can just imagine it the whole time, oh my God.
No.
No.
I know. I highlighted that and I was like, someone had to say it.
Someone had to say it. That's all Ron could think about. He's like, this is very bad. And then he appeals to Hermione of all people. He's like, sweet girl, clever girl. You won't let them do it. It's like, dude, you have no connection to Hermione. You are really getting desperate now.
Yes. Yes.
Yep. But finally he gets to Harry. He says, you look just like your father, just like him. And then Sirius is pissed that he's talking to Harry. Not pleased. Like, how dare you face him? How dare you talk about James in front of him? And it's like, yeah, it is bold. It is bold. It is definitely your fault that he's dead.
Yes.
But
he does say, Harry, James wouldn't have wanted me killed. James would have understood, Harry. He would have shown me mercy.
Oh, I know. He gets through to Harry, though.
He does.
Yeah.
It's like, no.
I know.
It works.
I know. He is just throwing everything at the wall, and finally he gets something to stick. Let's see. And then I get to hear a little bit behind enemy lines here. It's like, Sirius, what could I have done? The Dark Lord, you have no idea. He has weapons you can't imagine. I was scared. I was never brave like you and Remus and James. I never meant it happened. He forced me. And it's like, nope. He's like, he's still trying to find a way out. And he's like, nah, I didn't force you to do it at all, dude. You've been doing it for a whole year. Which, I wonder how many other people died because of this, mole. Right here.
Yes, rat.
Rat, as it were. Yeah. And then this is where he proves what Sirius said earlier. He says, he was taking over everywhere. What was there to be gained by refusing him? Which, Sirius earlier was like, you never did anything that you couldn't see how it benefited you.
Yes.
Yeah, and so that's basically, he just proves him outright that, why wouldn't I help him, you know? He's gonna be in charge. It felt so obvious.
Yes, but this is where I think you get a fantastic line that I think defines Sirius's goodness, because he's just like, what was there to be gained by fighting the most evil wizard who had ever existed? Only innocent lives, Peter. It's like to Sirius, it's like, obvious.
Yeah.
We're losing, but then you go down with the ship.
Yeah. Yeah, and then Peter on the internet, he's like, no, I'm not making it clear. He was gonna kill me.
Then you should have died.
Yeah, and Sirius is like, I'm not being clear. You should have died rather than do what you did. And that's Sirius's whole character right there. That sentence is you should have died rather than betray your friends, as I would have. And then Lupin cuts in, and it's a little bit more vicious than you'd expect for Lupin. He's like, if Voldemort didn't kill you, we would. Goodbye, Peter.
Signed, R.J. Lupin.
Signed, R.J. Lupin. Here we go. It's very, even his death sentence to him is very pleasant. He's like, you should have realized. All right, well, goodbye. Yeah.
Time to die.
Yep.
But then out of nowhere, Harry steps in. Mm. You can't kill him. You can't. Black and Lupin both look staggered.
Harry is the best man of them all after all. What do you know? What do you know?
Yes. Yep. Harry, this piece of vermin is the reason why you have no parents. You heard him. His own stinking skin meant more to him than your whole family.
Grubby skin.
Grubby. Oh, yeah. I mean, I bet it also stinks as well.
I bet it does, yeah. I can't imagine he smells good.
You know, it's like we don't like throwing shade at anybody for any reason at any time, but occasionally Harry Potter gives us characters where we can just like, we can be like,
like, this guy is the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would go so far as to say that he even stinks.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree with you, Ben.
I said it, guys. I'm sorry you had
putrid.
To hear that.
Putrid. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to be so foul up here, you guys.
Mm-hmm. Earmuffs. Earmuffs.
So Harry, of course, that being said, he's saying don't kill him, but we should hand him over to the Dementors, which, as established earlier in this book, is kind of a fate worse than death.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How kind of Harry.
Yeah, how kind of Harry. Spare him. You know, he can go to Azkaban. And then like, Peter has the audacity to, like, hug Harry around the knees, which just, like, gross.
I do think Harry, it's another big moment for Harry, too, because, yeah, he grabs him, and he's thanking him, and Harry's just, like, it says, "Get off me, Harry spat." And I think it's, like, it's interesting because, like, he's actually, like, it's defining the fact that he is showing mercy to someone that he does actively hate.
Yeah. And then, he says, I'm not doing this for you. I'm doing it because I don't reckon my dad would have wanted his best friends to become killers just for you. But, like, what's ironic is that this act of mercy is, in fact, what eventually gets Peter killed. Because in sparing him, they, like, create this, like, weird, like, life debt situation between them, according to Dumbledore.
Yes, yeah. So this is ultimately, like, when Pettigrew has, like, that like, moment of pause.
Yeah.
It's basically what causes the Silver Hand to be
right.
Like, nope, self-destruct button.
I know. And then it just, like, Peter, what does it say? Like, Sirius is outlining what he thinks Peter's plan was earlier, and he's like, oh, you know, if you can deliver him the last Potter, everyone would welcome you back with honors or whatever. And, like, in that moment, in the graveyard, that's basically what Peter does. Like, he does deliver Harry to Voldemort, and they get him, and he comes back. And, like, really the only honors he gets is the Silver Hand.
He gets the Silver Hand, and then he gets to be, like Snape's,
like, serving boy or something. Yeah. like you'd think he'd have, like, a really high place at the table.
You would think so.
Yeah.
That might just be, like, Voldemort being like, hey, good work, but also you are still useless.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks, but no thanks.
I do like this line, though, just going back to it real quick. I'm not doing it because I don't... I'm doing it because I don't reckon my dad would have wanted his best friends to become killers just for you. And this really is actually fantastic instincts, once again, on Harry's part, because this is effectively what, like, Dumbledore goes to extraordinary lengths to try to ensure for not just Harry himself, but also for Draco eventually. Like, you know, the idea, it's like, this is like one of those early lines that kind of helps, like, show us, like, killing in the wizarding world is what tears your soul. Like,
right.
It's the greatest act of evil that you can do. And so the fact that Harry's like, no, we're not, that's not who we are.
Yeah.
That's not
who we don't do that. Yeah. We don't do that. But not that he doesn't want Peter to suffer, because if anyone deserves Azkaban, he does, is what he says. And then Lupin does the same spell that Snape did earlier, thin cord shot from Lupin's wand. And Peter's wriggling on the floor, bound and gagged. And then Lupin, as ever, just sort of like back to teaching classes, like, right, Ronak and Ben Moans, you do this, you do that, you do that. And this is like a fun little moment for Lupin, too, because he goes like just full adult wizard. It's like, it reminds me of like the Fantastic Beasts movies when Newt's just walking around being good at everything.
Yes, yeah. I know. That's why we need more adult, like, wizard content, information, because getting to watch fully trained wizards do what they do is really fun. So another little piece of trivia here is the spell that he uses to splint Ron's leg is ferula, which I looked up and is actually the Latin word that means splint for broken bones.
Oh, well, there you go.
So I was like, that's perfect.
Very on the nose.
Very on the nose,
is
indeed.
Is that not also like Cinder's name and Name of the Wind?
Do not Name of the Wind me right now. You know what I'll do.
I know. You name, of the, right, name of the Wind?
Anybody out there? Yeah. I love you guys.
If we made a podcast like this, but for Name of the Wind, would you listen to it? Okay, all right. Very cool.
Neat.
Also, the Lord of the Rings podcast would be called Through Mordor.
Through Mordor.
Through Mordor.
Yeah. Right,
yeah.
We have a door naming.
We have a door naming. Through the four-plate door.
Through the four-plate door, yeah.
Yeah, anyway.
Check it out wherever pods are cast.
Yeah. So, maybe.
This was a weird time to do a plug for that.
Well, he said Ferula.
You're right. Yes, yeah, he does.
Did you not write a Name of the Wind thing?
I looked it up because of a Name of the Wind-based reason.
Okay.
And then I was like, wait a second, it means splint?
Yeah. What does that mean for the other story? We can't do this.
That's what I'm saying. I know. Now's not the moment. I'm sorry, guys. We got off track. It's not like we're in like one of the most vital moments of the entire Harry Potter series.
I know. Let's see. And then they make the continued. I love Lupin's decision. He like goes and checks on Snape, and he's like, maybe we don't revive him just yet. We'll just keep him passed out.
Perhaps it would be best if we don't revive him until we're safely back in the castle.
Yeah.
And it's like, smart call.
Smart call. Yeah,
that's what I would have done too.
Mm-hmm. So then he mobla corpuses him.
Yes, which remember how Snape was going to get Lupin back to the castle.
Drag. Yeah.
Yeah, manually, analog.
Yeah. Analog style. Yeah, so Lupin decides to at least float him. And then they come up with this crazy idea, like, we need to chain everybody together so that Pettigrew doesn't escape. Which I love, like, Ron's been able to hold on to him for, like, an hour in rat form, squirming around in his hands. And now that he's, like, a giant person who's tied up with ropes, they're like, maybe, I don't know how we're going to hold on to him.
Chains. Manacles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chained these 12 years.
Right. Oh, yeah, there it is.
Yeah, there it is. Wow.
Ah, yeah.
Then Ron, he's just being such a champ in this. He volunteers to, like, walk back and be chained to him.
Yes.
Yeah.
With, like, I mean, it's a 50-minute walk.
Yeah.
I think we've established somewhere along the way, because they say that this passageway is as long as the one
to
Honeydew. Yeah. So it's a long trek.
Long trek.
On a broken leg.
On a ferula leg.
Yeah. I mean, and we don't even know how many times it's broken.
Yeah.
It's only clear that it's once, but like there's a piece of me that thinks it's like 12.
Like, yeah, it's shattered in many places.
Like a whole bunch of broken.
Yeah.
But Ron's face was set. He seems to have taken Scabbers' true identity as a personal insult.
Yeah, yeah. He's still thinking about that, about sleeping in the bed with him.
He's like, oh, no. This was so not cool.
This is so not cool. So not cool, dude.
Right.
Yeah.
And then Crookshanks leapt lightly off the bed and led the way out of the room, his bottle brush tail held jauntily high.
Jauntily.
Yeah, to which I wrote, good boy, Crookshanks.
Good boy, yeah. Good one.
You had a great chapter. And
they
with that, so it brings us to the end.
To the end.
Of chapter 19.
We made it.
We made it.
Chapter 19.
Goodness gracious. Yes. Whew, thank you, guys.
Thank you. Man, that was a good one. A lot of fun reveals. A lot of like, what about this? That. What about this? No.
Yeah. What? No. Gasp.
We did the thing.
No. Yes. It's very exciting. Very exciting. And this... this is the moment, though, in the show where we would normally say, hey, Jay, do you have a review?
And I'd be like, of course I do, Ben. I looked it up.
Obviously. Yeah. Except instead of reading a review, since we've got all of you guys here, maybe you guys could let us know. How did we do? Did you enjoy it? Was it fun? Yeah.
I think that's 5 stars.
I think that counts as 5 stars.
I think that's 5 stars. All right. Well, that is awesome. Typically, otherwise, we would jump into the owlry here. With Gumpine, but as it were, we're just going to do, instead of answering questions from the owl, we're just going to answer questions from you guys. So we're going to do a little Q&A here, but first, for the sake of the recording, we'll like round out of the podcast here just a sec. Let's see, what is the next chapter called?
How the sausage gets made.
I know, this is how we do it. Let me...
Yeah, hang on.
All right. Well, guys, thank you so much for being here with us. For Through the Gryffindor live in Portland. Make sure you tune in next week for Chapter 20, The Dementor's Kiss on Through the Gryffindor.
Today's episode was edited by Ethan Edgehill. Vaishon Brandon does our art. Catherine Stein is our production manager, and the show is hosted by me and Jonathan Carlin.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
Through the Gryffindor is brought to you by Wizarding Candles. Ever wish you could bring the magic of the Wizarding World right into your home? Well, now you can with our very own collection of Wizarding Candles. We work hard to make sure that these aren't just candles. We aim to offer a brand new enchanting experience each month. All of our handcrafted candles are inspired by iconic places, spells, creatures, and relics from the magical world. Whether it's the cozy scent of the burrow or the mystical aroma of the enchanted forest, our candles transport you to the heart of the magic. The fun doesn't stop there. Hidden at the bottom of every candle is a surprise charm waiting just for you. Each charm is a unique keepsake and carefully selected to match the theme of each candle. We have new scents every single month, and you can save 10% on a subscription when you sign up at wizardandcandles.com.